Blog Talk Radio.
Before I play this next song, I must say something to the many Baby Natrix. What's this you say? No one else ever recorded this song before. It's brand new from that movie that you want to go see?
Look at me.
Yeah. You know what?
She's not nobody else.
All right, say.
The folly of stuff.
Play on, play that. Play on, play that.
I checked the date. I think it says 1997.
Yo, Trey drops the verse.
It's going down, face the Black Street. The homie got at me, collab creation.
I told you.
I put it down, never slouch. As long as my credit could vouch, a dog couldn't get
it. Somebody out there is yelling at me right now. Shut up, I want to hear some updates.
Still moving this flavor with the homies Black Street and Teddy.
Here we go.
Shutting it down, good lord. Baby got him open all over town. Strictly bitch, you don't play around. Cover much ground, got game by the town. Getting paid is a forte. Teaching every day, true play away.
All right. Oh, and my friend who just texted me. Yeah, I know you have a tape of me singing this. And if you play it, I will cut you.
Oh my God, play it.
No.
Send it to me, I will play
no,
it.
No, she has an actual tape, like a cassette tape.
That is awesome. Oh, my God.
That was the one that used to have the karaoke booth where you would go in. And
uh-huh.
Yeah, that we used to live in the karaoke booth. Every Friday, that's where we were. So we all have tapes of each other singing. They were for blackmail. So she's now pulling it out. You do, I swear to you, I will cut you.
You need to send that to me.
You will not send it to anybody. Look, she's like, I got the iPhone attachment. I will cut you. I will cut you.
Send it to me. Ginger Rocks.
GimmeNatrix.com. Happy Friday. Oh, I must stop the music. We have something else special going on today. Wait a minute. Let me see if I have some music for this.
It's somebody's birthday.
It is somebody's birthday.
Yes, I saw that on Facebook.
Here we go.
Mr. President.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. That's Blaster's birthday song when it's his birthday. This is for the other one.
We sing happy birthday to you, and may all your dreams come true.
Happy, happy birthday.
Oh,
this is your birthday, dog.
It's Snow White's birthday.
Happy birthday, Snow. We love you.
You all send her lots of Twitter messages and leave messages on her Facebook. Happy birthday to the Snow White.
Happy birthday. That's awesome.
Watch it. She's in, let me tell her, because she's actually in the cell. People. She's going to kill us. You know that, right?
She don't know where I live. I'm good.
If you get that tape and you play it on the air, I'm going to tell her where you live. Ha ha. See how that blackmail thing works?
Somebody send me that tape. Send me that tape. I am not
scared. Oh, my God. Stop.
Why am I scared? Well, because Corey is purposefully trying to get me addicted to The Sims 3.
I just gave you the drug. I didn't tell you to take it.
You knew the minute you sent that to me, I was going to install it, and yeah, it's installed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she just got the base game, and she's already hooked. Imagine what's going to happen when she gets an expansion pack or two.
I know. I'm already thinking that the monster one y'all were talking about, or whatever, the Halloween one.
Supernatural?
Supernatural, I think I need that one.
You know, the zombies are out of control. I do have to admit to the people.
Zombies!
Yeah, the zombies are out of control. They come after my poor little Simmy at my Sims at night. I made two sets of Sims. I made the girls from Charmed, and I made from another movie I like, Practical Magic.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever they leave the house, like, because the zombies only come out when it's dark. And the people, I guess they change from zombie to normal when it's daytime, which I didn't notice. But they have to run home first or something weird like that. But they are, like, waiting outside the house for her and trying to grab her and bite her.
No!
And if somebody opens the door, they come in. Because they don't know how to work the doorknob, but if the door opens, they come in.
We don't want to be bit. being bit's not fun. No. No.
It is not. It's not be fun at all.
Don't want to be bit. Okay.
It's interesting. But they released some kind of cheat or something yesterday to fix that. Okay, now I got to do this first news story because it is a hilarious.
You do the hilarious story, and then I do the WTF story.
Okay, Tim Cook over at Apple would like to say to you all out there with your iPhone 5s, we're sorry about the Apple Maps. We're going to go ahead and tell you, go ahead and use Bing and that other one, Google, for alternatives.
Who's our competitors? Our competitors, because we suck.
Now, he issued this apology this morning, early, about their buggy map application in iOS 6. He admitted that Apple fell short on providing the best possible experience with its maps application. He wasn't afraid to suggest some alternatives for customers while Apple gets its act together. Cook pointed to Bing, MapQuest, which is just as horrible as Apple is, Waze's iOS, as well as Google and Nokia's web apps. Ironically, by recommending Bing, he was in agreement with Microsoft. Cook reiterated Apple's iOS 6 stats, saying that 100 million people have upgraded to the new operating system and are now using Apple's new Maps application. He also noted that users have searched for more than 500 billion locations and gotten lost and fallen into a black hole of oblivion. Controversy over Apple's Maps application began when iOS 6 was released a few weeks ago. Apple had been touting its app's turn-by-turn directions and 3D building views. You have that already. You know what? But once customers got their hands on iOS 6, it quickly became apparent that the new Maps app had a number of issues, more issues than Newsweek. The app often sent people to the wrong address.
Oh, my God.
So the app sent people to the wrong address, and the highly touted 3D view had plenty of hilariously bad errors. We didn't even see the Statue of Liberty on the map. It doesn't exist, according to the map. Map experts pointed out that Apple likely underrated just how difficult mapping would be and said that the app's problems could last for some time. The original map application that shipped with the first iPhone used Google Maps data, and now iOS 6 users are waiting for Google to release their own Maps application, which is expected before the end of the year. As annoying as Apple's map applications is, people are still saying that they think the iPhone is still the best phone on the market. I'm hearing back and forth. I really don't know. I haven't seen one. I saw their commercial this morning. I think their commercial is wimpy, honestly. There's no reason why the Droid is overtaking you. Commercials are everything. I don't know what is with this whole touchy-feely commercial thing that's going on with some of you. Now, Google, it was cute at first, but I'm going to need, you know, going up against Facebook, but you all are too touchy-feely. I love the Droid commercials when they first started, you know, really kicking up the Droid. Did you ever see those?
No.
They had, like, a phone that was, like, speeding through the city or something like that, and it was like, this is not a cute little pink phone. This is not your little fluffy rabbit. Something like that. It said, this is a real phone. It's not shaped pretty. It can fit in your hand. You know, it's like, this is a Droid. I was like, I love it.
My Droid is awesome sauce, man.
I got to give this Droid credit. She's a Optimus has hit the floor a few times, and she's still hanging in there.
Yeah, actually saw never mind, I can't think of the name. Anyways, big Droid, glass face, hit the floor, concrete floor last night. Not so much as a scratch.
That's right. That's a good phone right there.
Mm-hmm. I know, because I heard it hit the floor, and I was thinking,
sheets.
Brand new phone. I mean, it's not like 2 weeks old. I heard it hit the floor. I was like, are you kidding me?
You ever see somebody else drop their phone and you hurt for them? I do.
Yeah, it wasn't my phone that hit the floor, but it was just like one of those,
Yeah, I will look and go, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, because I was thinking, oh, man, this thing's going to be in pieces.
I run over and start, can I help you? Is it okay? Oh, did the face crack? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I just did like the face palm, except that I was like laying on the bed, so it was still up to the face.
Oh, no.
Like, I can't believe you just did that. I was like, how bad is it? It's fine.
But it's because it's a Droid.
No, I know. Because really, I mean, had it been the old iPhones that I'd had, no, they would just been
dead.
Busted. Dead. Yeah. Though I did knock one across the room once. People, you never, ever, ever sneak up behind me, because I will hit you when you do it. Except that I missed the person and I hit their phone instead, and the phone went flying. Mm. They decided to download a turkey call thing onto their phone and played it right behind me while I was doing dishes.
A turkey call?
Yeah. So it made the whole little gobbler noise directly behind my ear, and I swung around to hit whatever. And, well, I didn't hit them, but I did hit their phone, and I sent it flying.
Ooh, dead phone.
I'm like, your fault. All right, so I told y'all I had a WTF story, and it's not about the turkey gobbler, I swear. Three charged with shooting at Tennessee teen and then taking said teen's Xbox. Police in
Tennessee.
Did he die? I don't know. That doesn't look like it. Police in Tennessee have charged three very stupid adults with shooting at a 13-year-old and taking an Xbox video game console from him. Jackson Police News released a statement saying one of the charged, 22-year-old Rashika Sampson, had reported her Xbox stolen during a burglary last week and then confronted a teenager she saw walking down the street with game equipment Wednesday. Authorities said Sampson's boyfriend, 21-year-old Skylar Reeves, took the Xbox and then fired at, but missed the youth, Isaiah Jones. Police said the Xbox serial code proved it wasn't Sampson's, but they haven't yet determined who owns it. Aggravated robbery and theft charges were filed against Sampson, 25-year-old Marilyn Horn, and Reeves, who was also charged with aggravated assault. They all remain jailed this Thursday, yesterday, and jail records didn't indicate if they had attorneys. You fired at some random kid walking down the street, 13-year-old, with an Xbox in his hand, thinking it was yours. You didn't know this kid, or you may not have known this kid. You didn't know if this was yours. It could have been his. Hell, he could have been taking his Xbox to go play at his friends. But no.
Well, they're not going to get to keep. Did they catch them?
Yeah, they caught the three adults who shot at the teenager.
Let me just say something to you, little thieving bastards out there. This is a whole new age. You cannot steal an Xbox and expect that you're going to go home and play with it. Because the second you turned it on, Microsoft is coming after you.
Uh-huh.
And now the police is scary, but Microsoft, not scarier.
Well, apparently the adult in this, I say adult with air quotes, you can't see this, who was shooting at this kid, it was their Xbox who was stolen. And so they just saw this kid walking down the street with an Xbox in his arms. Oh, my God, that must be my Xbox. Let's shoot him. And it wasn't her Xbox at all. So, people, this is why we don't do vigilante stuff either, okay? Let's not be stupid. I know it's Tennessee. I know it's hard. But let's not be stupid.
Huh. Who am I going to cut first for that? That's one of those. Don't steal any Xboxes, people. Just...
No, and I feel bad that her Xbox was stolen.
You can just buy you one.
Yeah, it's not where... I mean, because had you killed this kid, sure, you would have gotten your Xbox back for, what, 24 hours before you went to prison. And there is no Xbox in prison.
There's no internet in prison.
Oh, there's internet, but you're not going to want to use it.
I can't say that on daytime show. Anyway, I got two stories I need to cover here real quick. First, and I need to, you younger people, young, you know, just freshly out of college, you need to pay close attention to this, especially if you live out in California, and I'm hoping several other states follow suit. It is now officially illegal in California to ask your employees for their social networking passwords, okay? Okay, so two new privacy-focused bills have been signed into law in California that prohibit employers and universities for asking for social media usernames and passwords from employees, students, and potential hires. I don't know why this is ever legal in the first place. I would think it was illegal due to the terms of service. If you didn't want to give it to them, what could they do? And it's your account. Anyway, according to VentureBeat, they were saying they heard about an unsettling trend back in March where recruiters would ask for an applicant's Facebook login credentials. Really? Facebook immediately denounced the practice, and the U.S. and U.K. government said they'd look into it. While the instances of this level of social media snooping appear to be rare, California went ahead and took the extra step to say, no more, this is now a law. California Governor Jerry Brown wrote on his Facebook page, "Today I am signing Assembly Bill 1844 and Senate Bill 1349, which prohibit universities and employers from demanding your email and social media passwords." California pioneered the social media revolution. These laws protect Californians from unwarranted invasions of their social media accounts. California State Senator Leland Yee, a sponsor of SB 1349, said in an interview back in May that he believed this practice would become more common because of the tough job market. Employers have the upper hand over potential hires. He says, you can imagine that people are desperate for jobs. They have to make ends meet. And when there's no prospects of a job or income coming in, then people are put in these kind of difficult positions, and sometimes they should not be. They know that they should not, but then unfortunately they do turn that information over. Assemblymember Nora Campos wrote AB 1844. That particular bill had previously described the bill as a preemptive measure that will give guidelines to employers and universities on how to go about asking for information related to social networks. The federal government could pursue what California did next. In May, several Democratic senators introduced a bill called the Password Protection Act of 2012. Wow, that's amazing to hear. If passed, it would enhance current laws to prohibit employers from compelling or coercing employees into providing access to their private accounts. I don't understand who the hell thought that it was okay to ask somebody for their account information. This makes absolutely no sense to me.
No, no, none at all. But some of you people make no sense. I don't understand why y'all do some of the stuff you do recently. Besides, you know, that you were dropped on your head or something.
I'm going to say, and this is no insult to some of our younger people out there, I think it's a younger group that thinks it's okay to do this, because I can't imagine somebody who was, you know, of the age of, you know, when all this stuff started to come about, you know, or before the internet, would think this was okay. I can't imagine that they would. I think a lot of our younger people don't have a clear line of what we call internet etiquette. There are things you're not supposed to ask people. And they're also the same group of people that think it's okay to post pictures of their boob on Facebook, on their business Facebook.
No, no, people, that is never okay.
It's
never okay.
All right, and my second story, let me put this to bed because some of you out there were panicking yesterday. Valve says, we are not selling. Calm down. Valve chef Falasek has put to rest the rumors of Valve discussing a deal, which would see the company bought out by Korean publisher Nexon. He told GI International that there's nothing of the sort planned. Just because it's not planned don't mean you're not doing it. Lies. Okay, so anyway.
I don't see them selling.
And
they're talking about selling Valve or Steam? Sorry.
Yeah, Valve and Steam are one and the same. So the story originated from Korean newspaper Yung-ang, originally posted that Nexon was looking to buy Valve and had met in Hawaii to discuss a price of $893 million, incredibly low for a company as successful as Valve. Speaking in an interview conducted at the Eurogamer Expo just today, which will be published early next week somewhere online, Falsex explained the rumor, much like the rumors of the deals with EA and Apple before it were completely fabricated, as well as being bewildering. Oh, I'm starting to like you, Jung-ang. You're spreading rumors and lies. We like it. Gossip. Keep them confused. Okay, so
gossip.
Okay, it's the same, he says, as when Tom Schmidt came by and visited us, Falsex explained, referring to the previous story that the deal was in the works to sell Valve to Apple. He says, it's weird, because Gabe just gave the news to NYT, which everyone was quoting. It's really twisted how they look at it. They're asking if we're going to sell out to someone, and Gabe was like, we're not going to do that. He said the guy made...
I can't imagine that they would.
He said the guy made the question to be about how this is going to end. There's no thoughts about that. Everyone likes working here. We like working together. The culture we have and the way it works because of all the parts of it, we're not changing any of that. We're happy. We're doing okay. Asked directly if he could categorically deny the sale was on the cards, Falasek offered an uncompromising clarification, as well as a possible explanation for the source of some of the other rumors. He says, yeah. He replied when we asked if he'd explicitly deny the rumor. He says, it's funny because now all the internal emails will start. What's going on? This makes no sense. Where can these rumors possibly come from? The Apple rumor, I think, was from someone next door. There's a steakhouse next to us, and whenever anyone eats there who has some security, they therefore must be meeting us or something. I don't know. Bizarre.
I like that. Ah, that's awesome.
Hey. You know, this is what happens when you become superstars, Valve. People start to talk.
I'm sorry. I just saw my pop-up on Facebook. Work, bitch, work. Like that. All right. People who are not working, or I guess I should say somebody's working overtime, hackers, possibly from the Middle East, block U.S. banks' websites.
Oh,
Financial and banking industries are on high alert tonight. This happened yesterday as a massive cyber attack continues, with potentially millions of customers of Bank of America, PNC, and Wells Fargo finding themselves blocked from banking online. Doug Johnson, Vice President and Senior Advisor for the Bank of American Bankers Association, says there is an elevated level of threat. The threat level is now high. This is twice as large as any flood we've ever seen, says Dick Clark, an ABC News consultant.
Oh, I was like, Dick Clark? Why is Dick Clark? Didn't Dick Clark die?
Wrong Dick Clark.
Confused me for a minute. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Sources told ABC News that a so-called denial of service, or DOS attack, as we know, has been caused by hackers from the Middle East who had secretly transmitted signals commandeering thousands of computers worldwide. Those computers, or zombies, were then used to overwhelm bank websites with a barrage of electronic traffic. Different banks have been targeted on different days. They said today, what else is written? I'm looking. 18 hours ago. So yesterday. Yesterday was PNC Bank's turn for 3 hours. ABC News tried to get on the PNC website to no avail. On Facebook, a frustrated A frustrated customer, Cynthia Sherm, said, trying to pay bills, this is ridiculous. Hey, you know what, Cynthia? Get in your car, drive, go pay your bills. You can do it in person, I promise. Hopefully it can be up soon, says Stacey Briggs Gerlach. Never realized how dependent I am on it. I know it's a hassle, but you really can go pay in person, I promise. A group of hackers calling themselves Is Ad Din Al Qassam warned the financial industry that it was going to attack in retaliation for the controversial film The Innocence of Muslims. Can we just slap that idiot who made this now?
I think we should slap him, but I think at this point they need to stop with the retaliations. You're killing people, you're attacking banks.
They made a movie. We think the guy's dumb. We don't like him. He's in jail right now. He made a movie. He duped a lot of people. Hell, even one of the actresses is suing him right now because she said she was making a movie or thought she was making a movie called something else entirely, and then her whole lines were, like, dubbed over. So it makes her look like she's saying stuff that she didn't actually ever say.
Well, the thing that I think is probably getting to them, or and I heard this somewhere else, is that because of the way that their country is structured, that they can't do things like that without the government being involved, and they basically don't understand that we have free speech here, and the free speech doesn't mean that everybody agrees with what the person is saying.
Yeah.
So beyond that, there's not much else we can do. But I do wish, you know, it's done. If you see the guys in jail, you could keep retaliating. It's done. It's over. So
it was a stupid movie. It wasn't even very good. It's all dubbed over.
Yeah, we
and
don't.
It's not what the movie was supposed to be in the first place, apparently. So
yeah, we don't agree with it over here. Just so you all know.
But
look here, Anonymous. This is the time we need a little help.
You rise up and you become super anonymous. You can even wear a cape.
No capes. No capes. You saw what happened with capes in The Incredibles. No capes.
That's true. No capes.
No capes.
No capes. Man, I love that little lady. She's awesome. No capes.
Edna. I love Edna. I'm going to have to watch that today now because I just love her so much.
Why can't have a cape? And she goes through like the whole deal.
Oh, don't you love when she's telling about the costume?
Yes. Especially the baby one.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Because I don't know what he does yet. And yeah, he's like running through bullets, nukes, fire.
Your suit can stand with the temperatures over 1,000 degrees, yet it breathes like the Egyptian cotton.
Oh, my God, that's crazy.
That's one of the few times I bought a DVD. And you have to, if you don't have the DVD for The Incredibles, you have to get it, because all those other superheroes that she mentions, their background and everything is on the DVD, their dossier, and then how they ended up dying. And yes, quite a few of them did get caught in the case.
Okay. Okay for you.
Okay. All right. APB Reloaded, which I
yay!
Got some interesting things going on.
What do you got?
I'm going back in. I got to go back in. I've been waiting. Oh, God. I've been waiting. I need to punch me an old lady in the face. A digital old lady. Let me be clear. They have two new releases that have made their way to the Aramis marketplace. And this is, I think Ginger and I do share a love of these type of guns. Country Gent Shotgun.
Oh, my God.
It's a limited release. It features a three-point sling, a magazine pull, making it easy to equip and reload times faster than most of the shotguns in the game. Can hit multiple targets in one blaze of glory.
One blaze of glory.
It'll be available in the marketplace until September 30th. That is Sunday, yeah? So you can get yours before it's gone. There's also another gear update. The gear section of the Aramis marketplace has been stocked with a new designer VIP pack. Yes, and also a new emote VIP pack and previously unreleased emotes, symbol sheets, fonts, and massive clothing discounts. They say if you have a premium account, you get 40% off of that shotgun and any other thing that you pick up before September 30th. It does not apply, for those of you who understand, to the G1 credits that are priced at 99 G1 credits or less. So if you got those, you can't use it. The gun looks effing awesome.
I'm going to have to go in and check this out.
You and me both. I'm so in. I got to go back in.
That sounds...
And the first thing I'm doing when I get in is punch me an old lady in the face. I'm sorry.
Virtual old lady.
Virtual old lady. Let me be clear.
Virtual old lady. We would never punch an old lady in the face.
I would never do that because I know my grandmother, if you punched her in the face, that is the, and cover your ears, people at work, that is the worst ass whooping you will ever get in your life. And we're not talking about with a belt. My grandmother's 6 feet tall. Did I mention that?
Wow.
My grandmother is 6 feet tall. She may look like she's feeble, but man, she's got a killer right hook. Even at 70 something, a killer right hook. You don't want to try to steal her purse. You don't want to say anything untowards to her that she doesn't like. You're going down. And don't ask me how I know this. I cannot repeat this on air.
awesome. All right, so that is opening, so I'm going to have to go find something else over here because what I'm looking for is not wanting to be opened.
If you're not ready, I got more news.
I am not ready because I had something opening for Aeon and then I closed it by mistake.
All right, well... War of the Roses, that's one of Paradox Interactive. We are still waiting on our game. Isn't it? We got a few more weeks to wait from Salem. But anyway, War of the Roses is now launching on Steam on October the 2nd. They're saying, come on, join the battle against the War of the Roses developers and special guests. So you get to play with the devs. Again, it'll be on Tuesday, and you can play with them starting at 5 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, which is 9 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time on October 2nd. Wow, that's early.
Yeah, that is.
Senior producer Gordon Van Dyke will host a live stream where players can chat with him pre-launch and then challenge the good Sir Knight in-game upon its launch. Accompanying Van Dyke will be a slew of guests, including internet personalities Maven and 2GD, who will also join the fray come launch time and will battle it out online with those deemed worthy or just by whomever finds out which server they're on.
Awesome.
You can pop over to Twitch TV and check out that's where they'll be doing the launch day. And if you want to get ready by reading the player's guide, we will have that up on our site shortly and all the links where you can go to get signed up if you want to. You want to join?
Yeah.
I've forgotten what this one was about, and I keep remembering that it's one we were like, it looks like it might be good, but I'd be not sure.
You be not sure?
You're not sure. I'm still talking like a pirate all day.
I see that. It's kind of amusing, though.
Jay says, he says, I'd never punch an old lady in the face, but I will drop kick a Girl Scout if the price is right. Did I mention to you Baby Nature because the Girl Scout? You don't want to mess with her either.
No, because she will...
She glitter bombed
you. Yeah, there we go. She'll glitter bomb you. All right. So Aeon is about to have their third anniversary. And I've got to get back in and play because I really do like Aeon. Tiamat's Ruin is going to be the new storyline. They're coming out with the 3.5 content release. By the way, if you've not played Aeon, it is free to play now. Go play it. The war was changing. For a brief moment, everything seemed to be falling into place. The Devas gained a new ally in Karun and the Relan people. Karun had successfully enforced a hesitant peace between the Elios and the Asmodeans. And Tiamat's army, once thought unstoppable, was losing ground. But ancient rivalries cannot die overnight. Karun's fragile peace slowly began to crumble as Devas on both sides found Arius beyond his will to continue their bitter conflict. It seemed that the fragile alliance would collapse altogether when the realms gained access to Tiamat's stronghold, the last bastion of the Dragon Lord. It presents a perfect opportunity to strike the final blows against their ancient enemy. Awesome. So, what have we got? We have got 5 new instant dungeons of varying types wait for brave heroes. Tiamat's stronghold floats above Tiamaranta's eye in the center of Tiamaranta. It said that after Tiamaranta was created, a violent vortex appeared in the sky, and Tiamat flew up and breathed magic into the vortex, after which the fortress appeared amid a deafening noise and blinding light. It's going to be for level 60s plus. Hold 6 players each time. We've got Dragon Lord's Refuge. I'm not going to read the description of each one. 60 plus. Reentry time is 36 hours. This holds 12 players, so that's going to be a raid dungeon. Arena of Harmony. This new arena for the Crucible Coliseum is found in the same integrated space as the Arena of Chaos and the Arena of Discipline. This arena was created to build a sense of team collaboration because you cannot survive the brutal battle on your own. You get to train as a team of group of threes, with 3 groups of 2 players each. The training here will be more difficult than other arenas. It looks like levels 46 to 50, 51 to 55, 56 to 60. We've got 2 other arenas, Arena of Glory as well, and the Unstoppable Abysmal Splinter is a new dungeon. Some new NPCs, some environment fixes, a dimensional vortex, raid camps. Yeah, baby, defending camps. Don't know what those are. It's been a while since I've played, and a whole bunch of other stuff that I don't know about. Oh my god, and player housing! Oh my god, look at those houses! Oh, I'm going to have to link this in the patch notes. Those are so cute! The Leaf Mansion! I want that. Ah, awesome. So, looks like 3.5 is bringing out player housing, dungeons, PvP, new mounts, and a bunch of other stuff. So, really awesome. I want to get in and play. Because I want the Leaf Mansion. Oh my god! Is Corey there? Did I get disconnected?
I'm muted. I'm all talking. I was like, I don't know what it is about player housing that just drives me nuts. Like, I have to have it. I don't know why.
I loved it in Dark Age of Camelot.
I never got to where I left before then.
Dark Age of Camelot, player housing is why I learned to work outside the rules to make money. You notice I'm not going to say cheat. I wasn't cheating.
I left there before they had it in Dark Age of Camelot, but once I got to City of Heroes, and it's not called a house there, it's called your lair if you're a villain and your whatever you call it when you're a hero. But I remember I got together a super group and then I kicked everybody out because you had to have so many to get it. But once you got it, you could keep it. I just invited people just so that they would come in. As soon as I got it, I was like, okay, bye, you're out. And they were like, oh. But this wasn't on my Game of Natrix name. The Game of Natrix name, we had too many people. I think I lost control of that whole super group after a while. I would just kind of show up and stand around and glow with the big, orange G on my belt buckle.
That's awesome. Oh, yeah, by the way, I'm totally wearing my GGR shirt right now. That's awesome.
Yeah. Did you like it? Does it fit?
I do. Yes, it fits, and I do like it, yes.
I was hoping it wasn't too big.
No, it's good. It holds boobs just fine.
That's why I was like, I hope it's not too big because I want to actually accommodate your ample cleavage. Because
yes.
I don't have those ample cleavages.
No.
Look at them. Look at them touching mine. Like.
yeah, I was touching mine. I was like, it's good.
I have to remind myself not to do that when men are present. Get all.
Guys get all excited, and we're like, why are you looking at us like that? We're just making sure our boobs are in place.
Or maybe they're itchy. I just...
Yes, I know. It's like, you guys rearrange yourselves in front of us. We can't itch our boobs? Come on.
God, I love this woman. All right, I got some bad news for those of you who play World Warcraft. Yes. Blizzard launched World of Warcraft's latest expansion, Mist of Pandaria, this week. But one analyst believes that the 4th expansion for the MMORPG has been falling short of its lineage. Lazard Capital Markets told VentureBeat that the firm
slapped a hat on top of a flipping panda and called it a race.
The firm estimates Mist of Pandaria sold between 600,000 and 700,000 copies at retailers since its launch this past Tuesday. While that figure does not take into account downloadable Mist of Pandaria purchases, Lazard analyst Atul Baga told the site digitally distributed copies likely won't compensate for the estimated 60% drop in physical sales from the last expansion, 2010's Cataclysm. The week after Cataclysm launched, Blizzard announced that between retail packages and downloads, the game had sold 3.3 million. Yeah, that's quite a drop. That was in its first 24 hours on the shelves. The second expansion, 2008's Wrath of the Lich King, sold 2.8 million copies its first day on sale. And of course, the original World of Warcraft add-on, 2007's Burning Crusade, notched about 2.4 million in sales. World of Warcraft has been the undisputed king of subscription-based MMORPGs from the start of its eight-year run, but the game has run into some resistance lately. At its peak in 2010, World of Warcraft topped 12 million active subscribers.
What was that?
That was my phone.
Okay.
It has have different sounds for different things, so I know not to be picking up my phone every time. So that was the rattlesnake. That was a certain. I think that was the Game of Nature female, actually, my rattlesnake. However, then the number has trended downward, and as of last month, has fallen to 9.8 million users. At the time, Blizzard president Mike Morhaime said such a drop was expected near the end of the expansion cycle and pinned some of the blame on the company's Diablo 3 launch, drawing players away from the World of Warcraft, really? While many of its competitors have moved from subscriber to free-to-play models as they face adversity in the market, Blizzard has been resistant to making the switch with World of Warcraft. Instead, the company lets players try the game free but halts their progress at level 20. You know, I think Blizzard, you all need to face the possibility that you all might be in a little bit of trouble.
Tiny, itty, bitty, bitty bit. And you know what? Had you listened to me, probably 2 years ago, you wouldn't have this issue, but you wouldn't listen to me. So, now it's too late to fix the issues.
The issues are not, as I keep saying over and over, the reason why I don't play is it's not complicated enough for me. And I know some people are like, I don't like complicated games. But, Ginger, now that you've played The Sims 3, do you see what I mean by complication keeps you interested?
Yes, I was like, holy crap, what am I doing? Well, why is this thing spinning? Stop it! I just want to move you.
You get the gist of the game, you start clicking on everything because you're like, okay, what can I do here?
Yeah,
what can I do here?
I know, my little shit kept taking off. I was like, wait a minute, I didn't tell you to go there. Stop it!
Complication keeps you interested, and it just was not complicated enough for me. When I can figure out how to play your game in a matter of seconds, there's no I need the learning curve, because to me that's funny. Well, you know, when something happens, you know, I fall over a cliff or something, I am dying laughing. It is not a serious business. Like, oh my God, I've spent 5 hours. I'm killing myself laughing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm having to learn, and I want that to stay constant, and it didn't. I figured out World of Warcraft probably within a few hours, and I kept my, you know, at that time they were giving away a week, you know, you could play for a week up to any level. They didn't care if you made it to 80. And I, the fourth day in, I was like, I can't do this. I'm bored. Where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? They're like, you have to go here. And then you get your mountain. But I was like, I don't care. Where's the fishing? I heard there was fishing. And they were like, well, you can't fish. Now, okay, I'm out. Bye. You said can't.
Can't
fish? I'm out. I'm done.
No. Need to be able to fish.
If I can't fish and there's nothing else for me to do, I have no use. Now, even Joe said, he says, games like WoW can't hold his attention either. That's why he loves playing The Sims 3. Complication keeps you interested.
It does.
That's why I'm so interested in playing State of Decay, because of all the things I'm reading about it. You know, the fact that you have to rescue the other survivors from the zombie apocalypse, and you got to keep up with the food, and you can't get bitten, and then, you know, you got all these. I'm all about that. I like to keep track of all that stuff.
That's just
hot.
Yeah, it is.
Another one that has that complication, believe it or not, Assassin's Creed, the last one before this new one that's coming out, You have to manage your assassins. You send them on missions, and the only thing I think is missing, I would like to be able to switch and play as them on the mission in the other city, but it's not so bad. But you have to manage them, make sure they come back, nobody's hurt, their weapons are up to speed, you know, get to pick out their costumes, and you can check their progress, and depending on how they progress, depends on how your city is going to react. So all that complication I like. I feel like I'm getting my money's worth. If I'm giving you $60, I want to be playing this for years to come. I want to be able to pick it up again and be like, oh my God.
Yes, yes, exactly, exactly. I know. Yes. And like, I want to play Guild Wars 2, but I'm a little bit worried about that.
So. You tell your friend, leave me alone.
I will tell my friend to leave you alone.
English.
You're in trouble. Trouble,
I was going to say an English cuss word and smack you on your fanny, but I don't think you have a fanny. That's a girl thing. Okay, so anyway.
Yeah, fannies are girl things.
Yes. Now, Joe says when he gets tired of the game part in The Sims, he builds things. Again, complication keeps you interested. You got 50 million different ways to play a Sim. You build things. You make people.
Exactly. You know, it's that's the same. A lot of people ask me, why do you play Second Life? It's so boring. There's nothing to do. There's no point. It's not a game.
Everything to do in
Second Life. Everything to do. I can go shopping, which I love to do. I can go check out and see what other people are making. And some of these people are, and we're not just talking clothes and shoes. Clothes and shoes are a big thing for us. But
yes.
I'm talking people are designing houses, real world houses here. Mm. They are designing schools and hospitals and everything to use real world.
Yep, where they hold the meetings or what was it? My virtual husband is a I'm not going to say it. Well, he works in the medical profession. And sometimes the hospital will meet, you know, in-game because it's easier. Some of them are so spread out. It's easier for them to meet in-game and discuss new techniques or things they're going to do in the ER. There's a million different things to do in Second Life. And if you just like FPSs and you want to shoot up people, there's that. You want to play MMORPG, there's those in there. They're just anything you think of you want to do. So it's not boring.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Like, I also happen to know the military was looking at Second Life as a meeting space type kind of thing for them. That would have been awesome.
Big fun. Big fun.
Yes. All right. Did you know that playing MMOs actually improves very important, very vital workplace skills? This is kind of cool. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com.
Hmm.
There is new research, because, you know, everybody's doing research this time of year, from the University of Crete, and it says that they've come to the conclusion that all those hours playing massively multiplayer online role-playing games, MMORPG, can have positive real-world effects on behavior at work. The research is discussed as linked by Dr. Savas Papagiannidis. Papagiannidis. Senior lecturer and head of the Innovation, Entrepreneurship, and E-Business Subject Group, the research revealed a number of things about MMO player behavior. They say, for example, the research found that players often changed their real-world behavior to be in line with their online personas, and that playing online games improves important skills like working together collaboratively with teams, meeting goals and milestones, strategic planning, and more. He says, from collaboration to meeting targets, teamwork to resolve complex missions, strategic planning, allocating resources to recruiting new players to form groups, there is a clear link between the skills needed to enjoy a good game performance and the real corporate world. For this reason, the players have had to manifest good leadership skills and gaming behaviors to succeed in MMORPGs, we're more likely to see these characteristics spill over from the games to the real world work life. That is amazing. And you know what? I was told years ago that if you have guild leadership experience of any sort in a game,
they hire you for a job.
Yeah, to include that in your resume.
Mm-hmm. It does work. At first I used to keep like two resumes, one for gaming because if I applied to work on a game, and then, you know, my other world one, and I've meshed the two, and you would not believe the people that would recruit you if you say, we live in a gamer society. I hate to tell you all this. If you don't know, you better know now. Put it on your resume. I started putting all the stuff, you know, our site, the podcast, all the tons of beta testing that they love it.
Uh-huh.
They love it. It also shows you have dedication. Even if I know a lot of us think, oh, this is a kid's pastime. I really don't want to tell anybody that I play games. Tell them. You never know who else is on the other end playing with you.
I tell them, and then I see their eyes is over half the time, or they get really excited.
Really? Did you play blah, 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 blah?
Yes, and then it becomes the game off, I guess is what you could call it. You know, the E-Team contest to see if they've played more games or, you know, to see how hardcore we actually are. Dude, I'm just a gamer. I'm a game enthusiast. I love games.
They can't outgame me because I will pull out some games they've never seen, heard before, and they'll be like, oh, I don't know about that. Yeah, I didn't think you did. Shut up.
Well, like somebody yesterday was talking to me about games. And, you know, they asked me about League of Legends. And I've played it, and I'm not very good at it. I admit it. I don't really like the game. Mm-hmm. And I do. I get my butt kicked. And they're like, how can you be, you know, this serious of a gamer if you get killed and da-da-da? You die! It's a game! But I'm not going to be good at all games.
Do we need to go back to the, you know, we need to explain to you, seriousness does not mean what you play. It's your love for what you play. You can love it all the live long day, but it doesn't mean, it doesn't make you serious because you don't cry.
Exactly.
Or you cry because, oh.
You know, I've played it. I got my levels. I tried it, but it just wasn't my game. And, yeah, I died a lot. So, not my thing. Now you get me in some of these other games. You get me into a TPS. Oh, it's on, buddy. Me and you, you're gonna go down.
See?
All there is to it.
See? Well, speaking of games and, yeah, them making they're making their way over to the Middle East. Yay! Facebook games, more specifically. Sean Ryan joined Facebook back in January 2011 to make sure that the social network understood the games and games publishers that were making Facebook into one of the world's largest gaming platforms. Really? He is the director of game partnerships at Facebook and has to communicate Facebook's platform strategy for game companies and tell the broader story about one of Facebook's most successful application categories. About 235 million of Facebook's members have played a game in the last month. Let me go further than that. I'm going to say about 235 million in the last minute has been playing games.
Yeah, I know, right?
Mobile gaming has become one of the fastest-growing sectors of the business, and Facebook is making it easier for mobile games to get discovered within its mobile app and on Facebook itself. He's basically saying they're going to be moving into the Middle East. The top game there right now is Chinese-made Turkish-published game called Happy Farm, which is killing it, they say, in the Middle East. See, farming games, always big. It's complication. He says, we didn't see that a year or two ago. We mostly saw U.S. developers with non-localized games. He says, and this year we've seen a rise, and particularly in Europe, but around and around the world for local and or regional developers. He said, even U.S. developers have in many cases localized their games into 12 or 14 languages. He says, and then finally platforms. He says, we've gone from a desktop-only product to having a mobile platform product. The majority of the top apps and games on the iOS and Google Play stores are using our platform. That's really? That's the general. You see that? They threw the Google Play stores into the Facebook. You all are warring with each other. There is no. Ooh, that slip up is interesting. Okay, so the general theme that we looked at last year was just that. We'll continue to see that going forward as we try to make sure we have a range of games for a range of players around the world. I think on one hand, great idea. On the other hand, somebody's going to slip up and say something that's going to offend, pretty much like this movie. You got to be careful.
Yeah.
Some things are really lost in translation.
Yeah. I want to say on one hand, he's welcome to his free speech. On the other hand, because he put other people's lives in danger by not telling them what he was going to do, he deserves.
Oh, wait, I got some breaking news. You're not going to like this.
Oh, what you got? Oh, no. What do you mean?
Minecraft.
What about Minecraft?
Minecraft. Okay, let me break it down. Okay, so you can play Minecraft on the PC. You can play Minecraft on the Mac. You can play it on your Droid, on your iPhone, on the Xbox 360. But in spite of the fact that Minecraft has more than 42 million registered gamers and at least 7.5 million paying customers, you will not be seeing it on the Windows Store anytime soon. This is according to Mark Person, who's the creator of Minecraft.
That doesn't surprise me. He was throwing a big fit about Windows 8 and the Windows Store, so I'm not surprised.
I don't agree with this. This is not the smart idea, Marcus. Not smart. He says he was VentureBeat contacted him today wanting to help certify the software for Windows 8. Developers can build Windows software, including Windows 8, any way they wish, but if they want to sell it in the Microsoft App Store, the software has to pass their certification. And he said no. He says, I'd rather have Minecraft not run on Windows 8 at all than to play along. Maybe we can conceive a few people not to convince a few people not to switch to Windows 8 that way. Certification is roughly analogous to Apple's App Store approval process and is intended by Microsoft to ensure apps for the Windows 8 work consistently, provide value, respect users' privacy, and, among other requirements, are not derogatory, obscene, violent, supportive of drug use, or containing excessive or gratuitous profanity. The problem is that many developers chafe at the restrictions imposed on a formerly open platform, worrying that what might be optional now, selling via the Windows Store, might become like Apple's mobile app store, mandatory. They see Microsoft exerting new control of apps, and they're worried where that might go. How big is this for Windows Store? How negative is it? Nobody's able to say at this point, but the fact is not only is Minecraft extremely popular, its fans are also unbelievably passionate. That may not be great for Microsoft. I don't think it's great for him either. I think both of them need to come to some sort of agreement. He's saying on his Twitter that he says he got an email from Microsoft wanting to help certify Minecraft for Windows 8, and I told them to stop trying to ruin the PC as an open platform. Marcus, you have one game under your belt. One. Try to work it out some kind of way. You have it on the Xbox. The Xbox is where, I mean, you were doing very well before then, but
yeah.
That really just pushed you into the stratosphere. If you pissed them off and they yank it off the Xbox, there goes, wow, that was a lot of your money. And right now, Linux is not a popular platform. If it was, I would say go for it. Just move it to Linux. No big deal. But you don't have that option. You probably want to just try to work it out.
Work it out.
You all sit down and talk this out. I hate to see your game go away. You know, you got a good product there. I personally am not I'm a Minecraft fan. I'm making the stuff. I don't want to be in Ginger. Decide Ginger's in. I'm not into. But making stuff, the resources. Oh yeah, I'm a beast.
Yeah.
But
I can't help it. You get me into the mines, and I just want to dig, and I want to make them all.
Want to dig down in the ground, and I just want to make stuff. I just want to make the beams and rocks and.
A friend of mine was asking me, you know, you want to come Minecraft with me? I was like, do you mind if I just dig a hole and, like, I disappear into the ground and you don't see me? I was like, sure, if that's okay with you. So otherwise, no, you don't want to play with me because that's going to be exactly what I am doing.
Yeah, she's to digging as I am to staring at virtual water.
I can't help it. I start digging. And I'm like, oh, hey, look. Oh, wow, let's open up into the cavern. Oh, wait, I don't want anybody to fall into the lava, so I need, you know, like, build a little ledge right here. And
see, now you can't make fun of me.
It's horrible because I can't stop once I started. It drives me nuts.
Oh, you love it.
I do love it, but I'm like, stop it, Ginger.
Don't stop it, Ginger. Keep it.
I must stop it. I can't. But I keep doing it anyways.
Mm-mm. You're going to be all right.
It's so horrible.
You're going to be all right, Ginger. You're going to make it.
I hope so. All right, so I want to talk about this game.
And we got 7 minutes.
Man, I wish this had come out yesterday, and then we'd had the show last night, because, oh my God. Family-made game reaches number one, family-based studio Disparity Games. First game has reached number one on the Australian iPad charts. Run, Fatty, Run. Spent a week in Australia's top 10, reaching the number one spot on iPad paid apps, and the number three for paid games on iPhone. The whole family had an active part in development and are thrilled with the game's success. Veteran game developers Jason and Nicole Stark worked on the game full-time, while their eldest daughter, Alaya, was responsible for the game concept. Their second daughter, Raven, created the comic art, and their two youngest girls helped out on game testing. The family are big fans of their game-making lifestyle. It can be a bit weird knowing that my artwork is being seen by thousands of people, says Raven, but it's awesome to know that so many people are enjoying it. Alaya agrees, I'm full-time studying psychology, but I love being able to design games in my spare time that people play and enjoy. Anyways, what is Run, Fatty, Run? Run, Fatty, Run is a frantic arcade action on iOS and Android that pits one overweight man against government healthcare gone mad. Players guide the main character, Bert, through an urban landscape of hills, obstacles, tough old ladies, and their most relentless enemy, food. Bert must run, smash, and roll his way home as he defies the government's best intentions. Run, Fatty, Run features 36 courses of scaling difficulty, main character, varying body size, multiple game endings, and unlockable comics revealing the origins of the obesity solution. Can I just say how distasteful this game is to me?
I'm not even sure what to think of that. my brain is not wanting to register what happened. What just happened there?
I don't know. My brain hurts. It's like, why did you make this game? I mean, are you trying to make fun of, you know, the government and put out a message about, you know, government interfering in people's lives? Or are you actually picking on overweight people? Because if it's the latter, then I don't like you. And, you know what? You can take your little skinny ass and go eat your tofu. I want a real burger, thank you.
I'm still trying to see what just happened there. I'm still there going, what did I just... Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we got 5 minutes.
Way to go for psychology. You're going to be a great psychologist, let me tell you.
Mm. Some of you out there are really loving that Gangnam style dancing. Yes.
Yes. Oh my God, that dance is inside Second Life now. Sorry.
Not only is it in Second Life, it's made its way to Skyrim.
Yes, it's also in Guild Wars 2.
I will tweet it for those of you who want to check that out. A modder named Ambexomotron 1. He says he took the Gangnam style dance motion data he created with Miku Miku dance software by a YouTube user Motion Maker Diva, and he says he converted the file to work with the Havoc Content Tools plugin so that Skyrim could use it. This guy needs a job, guys, just so y'all know. After that, he implemented the dance routine into an existing mod that he found on casualmods.net, and after some adjustments to the length of the routine and positioning of the camera, he had Gangnam style dance in the streets of Whiterun. Unfortunately, Abe cannot share this mod since he doesn't own the dancing animation, and that's sad since many of us believe that Gangnam style belongs to all of us out there. You just never know, man. You just...
Wow, all right, hold on. This is loud. People, do not make your YouTube videos so loud. Thank you.
So, interesting. I may have to grab that song for Monday just so I can drive y'all crazy.
Yes, oh my God, please do that. Please do that. Awesome. Yeah, and I just tweeted the Guild Wars 2 people doing the Gangnam style.
Oh my God. I cannot believe... Well, guy, dude, work it for all it's worth. Get your money's worth out of it. That's all I can tell you.
Oh, no, I thought it was like a really bad internet meme, whatever. Uh-huh. And then, like, it turned out it's an actual song, and it's working up. It's like sitting at number 2 on our pop charts or whatever right
now. Yes, so nobody has signed him. I don't think they will sign him. Yeah, that would not be a smart idea to sign him to anything.
Well, he's like a big-time pop star over in South Korea.
He's still not signed.
Yeah. Well, he can't really sing English much yet. I think if he learns English, it'll be a whole different story.
Maybe.
And it looked like, because they had him on one of the music award shows recently, it looks like he is learning a little bit. So.
One can only hope. I hope you...
You know, because when Shakira broke the American scene, she couldn't speak English at all.
Neither could Bjork, who I'm about to do this with. So, guys, it's Friday. It's time for us to go.
I gotta get my simage on.
Yeah, see, they're trying to get us to play Borderlands 2. Y'all have lost Ginger, and I have some things to do. So, if you're looking for somebody to play with, I guess they'll let you play. Go look on our Twitter. Some of our nearest and dearest will be playing Borderlands 2 tonight if you want to play with them. Yes, I'm sending other people to play with y'all. Because, see, when I asked last weekend, when I had nothing to do, nobody wanted to play. I see how y'all are.
It's like a blind date. It'll be okay.
It'll be okay. They're very nice. Just be prepared to do a lot of laughing. It is hilarious. Yeah. Make sure. Good for your heart. Laughing
yes.
is good for the heart.
Yes. It's very good for your heart.
All right. So anyway, we are out of here. You know where to find us. GameAndAtrix.com. New.GameAndAtrix.com. GamerGirlsRadio.com, Blog Talk Radio. We're some of everywhere. I will probably be simming because I have something I have to sit in on for a couple of hours, and that's all I can do is sim while it goes on, just to keep from streaming.
Yay! That sounds like fun.
Yay! See, Joe says he's going to be playing The Sims 3 as well. Joe, can you please open your town? Petey Carey needs to go on tour. Come on now. She needs to go on tour. She needs some new fans. You know what? Actually, I don't think I have Petey Carey anymore now that I think about it. I think she got erased. But anyway, I'm sending somebody to your town, Joe. She needs to go on tour. She wants to go on a coffee shop tour, whoever the sim is I'm thinking about. So can you work this out with me? All right. We'll see you guys bright and early Monday. Make sure you're here. We got a lot of guests coming by the shows next week, so make sure you're listening.
Yay, I can't wait.
Yay. The guests from Ricochet and the Virtual Boutique. Did I tell you about the Virtual Boutique?
Yes.
The mobile boutique, yeah.
The mobile boutique. That is amazing.
That's gonna be fun.
Seriously, yeah. I'm all like, do they need franchise out? Because, you know, I can do that.
She's not franchised, but I'm guessing she's, man, this chick is going to make hella cash. Okay.
She should franchise.
All right, people. Yeah.